From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Acts, he commences a message entitled, Paul, the Man with Fettered Hands. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if, then this is not a matter to be taken for granted concerning every one of the human race. If, then there is a possibility and a probability that some may not have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If, then this is not a general but a special mercy, and it is needful to inquire whether we know the grace of God by inward experience. There is no spiritual favor which may not be a matter for heart searching. But while this should be a matter of earnest and prayerful inquiry, no one ought to be content whilst there is any such thing as an if about his having tasted that the Lord is gracious. A jealous and holy distrust of self may give rise to the question even in the believer's heart. But the continuance of such a doubt would be an evil indeed. We must not rest without a desperate struggle to clasp the Savior in the arms of faith and say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Do not rest, O believer, till thou hast a full assurance of thine interest in Jesus. Let nothing satisfy thee, till by the infallible witness of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with thy spirit, thou art certified that thou art a child of God. O trifle not here. Let no perhaps or peradventure and if and maybe satisfy thy soul. Build on eternal verities, and verily build upon them. Get the sure mercies of David, and surely get them. Let thine anchor be cast into that which is within the veil, and see to it that thy soul be linked to the anchor by a cable that will not break. Advance beyond these dreary ifs. Abide no more in the wilderness of doubts and fears. Cross the Jordan of distrust, and enter the Canaan of peace, where the Canaanite still lingers, but where the land ceaseth not to flow with milk and honey.
When the mist of time is gone, when the choir of heaven gathers to begin redemption's song, I will bow before my Savior in a body new and whole. Then I'll rise to sing His praises while eternal ages roll. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. The chains that bound me no longer hold me. will sing of his salvation, marked with blood upon the tree. While the hosts of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with the song of the redeemed. Of the redeemed, I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. The chains that bound me no longer hold me. Because of Calvary, I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Paul the missionary is now Paul the prisoner. Having been delivered from death at the hands of the Jews, he was arraigned before the Roman governor Felix. After 2 years of imprisonment, Paul is under the jurisdiction of Festus, Felix's replacement. In Acts chapters 25 and 26, Festus is entertaining King Agrippa and his wife, really his sister, Bernice. Agrippa desires to hear Paul, and Festus grants his wish. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns depicts Paul the prisoner in chains as the only one of the four chief characters who is really free, for the other three are enslaved by their sins. Now to introduce a message called Paul, the Man with Fettered Hands, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're going to read some verses this morning in Acts 25 and in Acts 26. 25th chapter of the book of Acts, we read from verse 7 through to the end of verse 12, and then we'll read in chapter 26. And when he, that is Festus, was come down, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. Now chapter 26, where Paul is answering before Festus and Agrippa, who sits there with Bernice. And they are supposedly hearing him to find out what the wording of the accompanying charge or summons or whatever it's going to be should be as he is sent to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Finishing at verse 23, and the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You'll gather from the fact that we read from both these chapters this morning that we're continuing to cover the latter part of the book at a fair rate. The reason, as I indicated before, is that Paul's testimony, Paul's conversion, we have dealt with in detail, and we have looked at the doctrinal implications of it when we studied the 9th chapter of Acts. And here we can therefore, as it were, skate along the surface a lot more quickly and a lot more easily. Now, the 25th and 26th chapters of the book of Acts can best, I think, be remembered by the leading characters that you find in them. First of all, we have Paul. And then, secondly, we have Festus. Thirdly, although she doesn't get too much attention, her presence, if you read carefully, is very, very obvious. We have Bernice. And then, finally, we have Agrippa, four of the leading characters. Now, when I look at these two chapters, I title the study, and it's not an original title. I found this in an old Church of England manual written by Dr. Eugene Stock. The Church of England doesn't turn out very many preachers like Eugene Stock nowadays, unfortunately. But he titled these two chapters Fettered Hands and Fettered Hearts. And I think that very well sums up these four characters. Today, we're going to look at Paul, the man with the fettered hands. And then next week, as the Lord wills, we're going to look at the other three characters who appear before us in these chapters: Festus, Bernice, and Agrippa. And we're going to look at those with fettered hearts. You know, to many people, Christians appear in a moral and spiritual sense to be like Paul in the physical sense. Paul was chained. His hands were fettered. And to many people looking at Christians, it seems that Christians are people who have fettered hands. The unsaved look at the people of God and all they can see is they're tied up. They can't do this. They can't go there. They can't get involved in the other thing. There are so many things that Christians can't do. Now, I want to be absolutely honest with you. I don't believe you can go out and get drunk every night and still say you're a Christian. I don't believe that you can curse and swear and gamble and smoke tobacco and take narcotics and all the rest of it, go to the dance hall in the ungodly crowd and still say you're a Christian. I don't believe in that sort of so-called Christianity. It's the devil's counterfeit of Bible Christianity. And so I suppose, in a way, it is true you can say a Christian is tied, that he can't go here or can't go there. But in another sense, it's not true. I am not tied that I can't go to a pub. I think, don't you have pubs in South Carolina? Do you? I don't know. I see drinking dens down the road between here and Spartanburg, and they're called pubs where I come from. It sounds very good. Maybe you call them bars. A bar to heaven and a gate to hell. Somebody put it in a well-known poem. Well, that's only by the way. But I'm not fettered that I can't go to a public bar. I would no more want to be found in a public bar than I'd want to be found in hell itself. I'm not fettered that I can't go out with a godless, blaspheming crew. There would be no joy for anybody who loves the Lord having his ears soiled with all the filthy talk of people who are sold out to the devil. So you could say, in a way, a Christian is tied. He can't go here or there. But there's another sense in which that which the world calls fettering is to the Christian the greatest indication of liberty. I have friends. I think of a wee man back in Belfast today. Before he was saved, I knew him. I have mentioned him to you before. He was one of the most wild and ungodly wee men. He only lived for money, and he was making plenty of it. And as long as he made money, he was happy. He could go out and indulge his lust for pleasure. He was a great man for booze. And so to keep the child quiet at night, at a few months old, he would give it booze instead of milk. Just put it to sleep and keep it quiet. That's the kind of character he was. He couldn't have said one sentence without taking the Lord's name in vain, without cursing or swearing or saying something by way of filthy conversation. He couldn't talk without cursing and swearing. Then God saved him. Now, the world would say, Jimmy can no longer go and get drunk. But to Jimmy, that is the greatest liberty. There was a time when he couldn't help himself, when he had to go and get drunk. Now, by the grace of God, you could line up all the whiskey bottles in creation, you could put them under his nose, and he has absolutely no desire for the booze. Now, that's fettering to the world, but that's liberty to the child of God. I've often mentioned to you Joe Black, the old caretaker in Dr. Paisley's church in the Ravenhill Road before they moved to their new premises. Joe never passed a bar door while it was open. It was a total impossibility. But when God saved him, he was the man that Dr. Paisley found so drunk, he had to carry him bodily, set him in the prayer room, and went out and prayed so hard that he prayed him stone cold sober. And that night, Joe Black got saved. And never again in something like 30 years, never again did Joe Black ever darken the door of a drinking den, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now the world would say, you can't do it because you're fettered. The Christian says, I can't do it because I have liberty. I have the joy of God within my soul. I don't want to get off on a tangent and compare that biblical aspect of Christian liberty with what so many evangelicals in America today call Christian liberty. Christian liberty among many, and I'm sorry to say, unfortunately, many of them go under the name Presbyterian. Although they're not all Presbyterians, there are Baptists among them too. So if you're a Baptist, get it, you're as bad as the rest. At least they're as bad as the rest. And their idea of Christian liberty is, I'm a Christian and I have liberty. Therefore I can drink. Therefore I can take the tobacco with the rest. Therefore I can go with the ungodly crowd. God never gives people liberty to sin. It's liberty from sin that the Bible preaches. And this is the liberty that Paul had. As I say, I'll not get off on that, otherwise we'll never get to Acts 25 and 26. But I want you to think of something. As we look at these four characters, just take a panoramic look at them. There's a man with his hands fettered. You can see the chains in his hands. You can't see any chains about the rest. But when you look at these chapters, you answer, who is it that's really fettered? And who is it that's really free? And I think you'll find that the man with the chains about his hands
is the man that's really free. The man or the men who sit in the judgment seat, the woman who sits by their side, with all the trappings of pomp and worldly greatness, they're the ones whose hearts are enslaved to the devil and sin. I tell you this morning, if you're free to sin, you're a slave. For Jesus said, John 8:34, whoso committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.